This program is made possible by the friends and partners of Unspeakable Joy.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 5 tonight. The 1930s, a man whose name was Duncan Campbell disembarked off of a ship, the northern end of Scotland, at the Isle of Lewis. The Lord was about to send the Lewis Revival, which if you're interested in how God moves spontaneously, I talked a little bit about it this morning. You ought to get on YouTube and watch videos on the Lewis Revival. A man that was used mightily by God, his name was Duncan Campbell. Duncan Campbell was scheduled to be preaching in one area, and the Lord told him, and the Spirit bid him to go to the Isles of Lewis, which were called part of the Hebrides Islands, what they were called. And he didn't have an invitation, he just had a burden to go. And he got off the ship at the Isle of Lewis. He disembarked. And Bob, when he got off of that ship, there was a deacon waiting at the end of the ramp on him. I'm talking how God does things. It's amazing to me. And that little Scottish man that was waiting at the end of that ramp, this was the question he asked Duncan Campbell. Now, if you had gone because the Holy Spirit called you to go somewhere, you had no invitation, you didn't know what the man looked like, I think I'd be asking questions like, are you Duncan Campbell? Are you the preacher God has sent? This is what that deacon looked, and the Holy Spirit said, that's Duncan Campbell. This is what he asked him. In that Scottish accent, he said, sir, are you walking with God? Are you walking with God? Duncan Campbell said, I do not know about in a moment, but I have up to this point today. So tonight, the Lord laid this on me last night as I was sitting in my chair. My family was watching their stuff, and I was just kindly pondering over today. And so tonight, I want to talk to you and ask you, are you walking with God? The book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 5 and verse number 33, the Bible says, Moses is writing under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He said, ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. The Bible in the book of Deuteronomy, it is the last of the writings of Moses. Moses is about to sail on into the world to meet the Maker that had come down and he'd seen his train. And Brother Moses there was writing what we would call his last will and testament. And in this book, what Moses is recounting, if you have a Scofield Bible, at the beginning of chapter 5, it says something to the effect of, the new generation is taught the Mosaic law. What the book of Deuteronomy is the new generation that did not die in the wilderness. They're being given the Ten Commandments by Moses, being given the 613 laws that were the law of Moses. If you were to sum up the entirety of the law of the 613 laws, you could sum them up in a few statements. One of the statements would be, hear, O Israel, the Lord our Lord is one Lord. You could sum it up in another statement. Ye shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, and mind. The next statement that you could sum up the entire law in would be the statement that we've read. Ye shall walk in the ways of the Lord. 11 different times in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses is going to tell the people to walk with God. Before the flood, Adam, Eve, Enoch, and Noah, the Bible says that they walked with God. I believe with all of my heart that those people, they had a physical relationship where they physically walked with the presence of God Almighty. I believe Adam and Eve walked with God in the garden. I believe Enoch walked with Christ, that pre-incarnate visitation from the Lord. I believe that Noah was taught how to build the ark by that pre-incarnate Christ as he walked with him. But you'll find after the flood, it never again says that man walked with God. In the book of Deuteronomy, all the way up until the time of the Lord Jesus, you'll find the phrase not walked with God, but walk in the ways of God. What the Lord would do is he would give to the people the law, the word of God, and he said, I want you to order your manner of life after this book. But when you get to the New Testament and you get to the days of Christ and the apostles after the resurrection, it no longer says walk in the ways of God. It no longer says walk with God. It now says you are to walk in Christ. What does that mean? There's been a change over because of the cross. No longer are we walking side by side with the Lord. For when you walk side by side with somebody, you can only talk to them as they are beside you. We no longer walk just in the ways of God, because this book is now more to us than an exterior thing we hold in our hands. Because of Calvary, we now walk in Christ. The Bible says that Christ is in us the hope of glory. What does that mean? Here's what that means. Inside of every one of the people of God that have been birthed by the Holy Spirit, bought with the blood of Christ, washed in the royal red blood of Calvary, living inside of you is the third person of the Trinity. The very incarnate, the very Spirit of the living God. He is now in you, and because He is in you, you are now able at all times to be walking with God. If I were to ask you today, what would you call a successful Christian? What would you call somebody that you really said, that's the kind of believer I want? We would probably chalk it up to one of two things. Either A, it is somebody that had worldly success. Somebody that when you looked at them, they had business dealings. Or somebody, when you looked at them, they had money, or they had houses, or they had lands, and they had this. That's what the Laodicean church likes. Oh boy, we want big buildings, shiny parking lots, and trinkets on all of our bathroom faucets. That's a real church. Those people must love God. Oh, they've got cameras, they've got TV, they've got internet. Those people must really know God. That's not the indication that you know God. That's the indication you know the internet man, the cameraman, and you know how to take out a loan at a bank. That's not an indication that you know the Lord. Then there are other people that would say, okay, well, I believe that just because they may not have worldly success, but maybe because they're popular. That person is liked by a lot of people. They're successful. People follow them. Therefore, they must walk with God. They must really know God. You'll find if you study Christian history, some of the most hated people in the world in their day are some of the people we revere the most today. William Tyndale, John Huss, Charles Spurgeon, John Gill. I could go on and on. Augustine, Origen, Jerome. I could tell you name one after another after another. These people were burned, hated, rejected, disdained, detested, turned aside, not listened to, hated. They were not enjoyed by their fellow man. But there was one thing about them. They walked with God. I want you right now in your mind to think about that one person in your past. Maybe it was a daddy, a mama, a grandma, a granddaddy, somebody like that. And you would say, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, they walked with God. Think about them right now. Put them in your mind. You got them? If you got them, just wave at me. Got them? All right? Think about it right quick. Those people were probably contrary to everything the world in their day said was normal and right. If the world said up, those people said down. If the world said it was right, those people said it was wrong. If the world said it was wrong, those are the people saying that's right. They were contrary to everything the world said was popular. You know the one thing that God defines as somebody who follows Christ? It's phrased up in one thing. They walk with God. I want to look at people right now. And I don't want you to be popular. I don't want to be popular. I don't want you to be worldly, successful worldly. I don't want money. You don't want money. Money doesn't do anything but bring problems and issues and pain and situations. I'll tell you what I desire of the people of God. I want you all every day, every moment, every hour to it be said of your life, you walk with God Almighty. It's amazing to me the very thought that the God of eternity would want to walk with me. The God of eternity would want to have a relationship with me. The God of eternity wants to have a relationship, and He wants to know you, and He wants to talk to you, and He wants you to talk to Him. He wants you to know His ways. He wants you to know His thoughts. He wants you to walk in His ways, and He wants you to have every aspect. Ladies and gentlemen, some of you cannot fathom that because you say, my mama didn't even want to walk with me. My daddy didn't want to have anything to do with me. My family doesn't enjoy me. Mama says I'm useless, but God wants to walk with me. My daddy says I'm useless, but God wants to walk with me. Co-workers won't even eat lunch with me, but God wants to walk with me. Let me put that down in shoe leather. Mama may not have wanted to talk to you, but the God of eternity wants to walk with you. Your daddy may not have wanted to have anything to do with you, but the God of eternity wants to have something to do. I was hurting the beginning of this whole message, but I'm feeling preaching my soul right now. Somebody may not want to be eating lunch with you, but the God of eternity wants to step out of where He is, and He wants to walk with you, and He wants to talk with you. Many people say, but the preacher doesn't ever have time to do this. The preacher may not, but the good God of eternity, He wants to walk with the people and talk with the people everywhere you go. He wants to walk with you when you wake up in the morning, and He wants to talk with you when you're going to bed at night. He wants to eat lunch with you at the workplace, and He wants to sit down with you when you grab a cup of coffee at the Biscuitville. Every aspect of your life, God cares about it. God wants to walk with you. God wants to talk with you. And I want it to be said of you that God walks with me and I walk with God. I want to ask you a question. Are you walking with God? There's some of you in here and you're not walking with God. You have no idea what I'm talking about. That God, have a relationship with God, talk to God, Him talk to me. What in the world is that even talking about? I pray that tonight the Holy Ghost begins to draw your heart and you begin to say, I want to begin to learn how to walk and talk with this God. There are people in this room right now, and in your Christian journey, you've gotten so discouraged in something, and you've gotten so turned aside because of something else, and maybe you've fallen down in that walk with God, and you're not as tight with the Holy God of heaven as you used to be, or maybe your flesh has come in, and the things of this life have allured you away, and maybe you're just kindly drifting. I pray the Holy Ghost, like an anchor on a ship that has been tossed in the sea, that it would lock on you and begin that process of drawing you back into the harbor of His fellowship. I pray that God would do that tonight. Let me talk to you for just a moment. When I say that God wants to walk with you and you can walk with God, what does that mean? Number one, it means that someone is with you. If you say that I am walking with God or I'm walking with somebody else, what does that mean? It means very simply that somebody is with you. Let me encourage you tonight. I got this thing on my collars for people that have fat necks, and mine's starting to get a little fatter, and I don't want to buy new shirts. But I'll tell you, it's metal and it strangles the ever-loving life out of me, so I'm going to alleviate the pressure that's building up behind my ear bones right now. So here is what I am trying to say. When I say that God is walking with you and you can walk with God, here's what that means. It means that when you wake up in the morning, the presence of God is already there with you. When you go to the bathroom to shake the sleepy out of your eyes, God walks into that bathroom with you. When you're putting your clothes on in the morning, God is there in that very room, just as real as a person would be. The God of eternity is in that room with you. When you sit down to read your Bible, don't don't just read your Bible just to read a book or to get a chapter in, but that right there is the love letter that God has sent to you from the portals of eternity. You realize that sitting beside you in the very pew that you're at, the God of eternity, oh God in heaven, is sitting with you. Be aware that the presence of God goes with you every moment. What did he say? Lo, I am with you always. God is with you. What does that mean? Well, you got to think about it like this, Brother Bob. If God is with me, that means he had to come where I was. He had to leave where he was and get to where I am. Let me just stop, take a little time out, and tell you about the good, glad day. God left where he was and came down to where I was, because where I was, I could never get to where he was. Let me just rehearse it for you in case you've forgotten. I was a 16-year-old boy at the back of the Vandalia Baptist Church, three rows from the back on the left-hand side, in a Wednesday morning chapel service. As that preacher was preaching, I have no idea what he was talking about, but honey, he was reading my mail that day. And that day I heard a voice. I've heard a lot of voices since that day, but I ain't never heard a voice like that voice I heard that day, as he called my name and he said, "You are not right with me." And that day I realized that somebody had to come where I was. Can I just stop and talk to dignified people on the side of Church Street? Does anybody remember where you were when the good God of eternity stepped out of the portals of glory, condescended down to where you were, and said, "You couldn't get to me, so I'll come to you"? And the very fact now that I walk with God and you walk with God, it indicates God came to you because you couldn't get to him. And every morning when I wake up, may the first words on my mouth and in my mind say, "God, thank you for the privilege to know you." Do you realize where we'd be without the grace of an almighty Christ? I want you to imagine right now that God took the Ziploc bag of his grace that he poured out upon you and shut it tomorrow. What would your life look like and mine? But God came to you. Somebody is with me. The second thing it teaches me, the fact that somebody is with me, it means I'm never alone. How many of you people, maybe your mama or you're a daddy, or you've got those kids that just only word they ever seem to remember is mama, 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 daddy, 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 daddy. And now the new one is, hey, nay, 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 nay. I'm not sure if Mr. Ed moved into the kitchen where I'm at, but nay, 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 nay. And every now and again, you know what you want to say? Could I, for one moment, just get some silence? Me and my wife have got a new thing. The kids come in the room. Mama, 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 daddy, 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 daddy. I changed my name to Ed, and that's Veronica. We don't have to respond. It's not our names. Mama, mama, mama. Eric will go, "Mama ain't here." Daddy, 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 daddy. Daddy left. You're sitting right there. I'm not daddy, I'm Ed. Now they're getting old enough, they'll go, "Okay, Ed, 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 Ed." And both of them have got just a little bit of a heavy tongue, so they can't say Veronica. So it's Anonica, 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 Anonica. It sounds like a boat engine, just ga-ga-ga-ga-ga-ga-ga-ga-ga. Anyways. But every now and again, you just want peace and quiet. But go to the flip side of that. There's sometimes all you want is to hear somebody's voice. When you're broken, just somebody's voice saying, "It's going to be okay." When you're by yourself at the midnight hour because that husband or wife has already gone on to heaven, you just want somebody to say, "I'm here." You just want somebody in the loneliness of life to say, "I am with you." That's what it means to walk with God. He's with you every moment. He's not with you just at church. My God, I wish I could drive that into the spirits of the people of God, that this is just a building. It's brick and mortar and wood and stone. God doesn't dwell in this building. God dwells in you, no matter where you're at. God's with you at the doctor. God's with you at the job. God's there with you at the dinner table. God's with you in the car. God's with you when you're at the vet. God's with you when you're at the kids' doctor. God's with you when you're going to the store. God is with you in the car when you're riding down the road. That's how you can talk to Him. He's always there. That's why you can pray when you're at the grocery store. He's always there. That's why when you're at the doctor, you can talk to Him. He's always there. The very fact that you say, I walk with God, somebody's there. Number two, when you say you're walking with somebody, it indicates, number two, that we're going somewhere. If I say I'm walking, what's the first thing you say? Where are you going? My wife always asks me that. Most mornings I have the same routine as far as going out to walk and pray with the Lord. I always take the kids to school and then I'll go to a park somewhere. And she'll always say, where are you going? Where are you going? The very fact I've told her I'm walking, you know what she knows? I'm heading somewhere. I have a destination in mind. When you say you walk with God, you do understand you're not out on a leisurely stroll. God's taking you somewhere. Every day when you talk to the Lord and God talks to you and back and forth and back and forth, you know what it indicates? It indicates you are headed somewhere. Two places you're going. Number one, there's the spiritual place you're going. That is Christ-likeness. You know where God's taking you as you walk with Him? He's taking you into the conformity of the image of Jesus Christ. He wants you to look like Christ. That's why when you're walking and He says, nope, not doing that. You know why? It doesn't make you look like Christ. That's why when you say that cross word, fellas, and your wife just kind of looks at you like, what did I do to have my nubs chewed off? And the Holy Spirit begins to pump that heart over that thing and say, I don't think so, Jack. You know what He's saying? He's saying that doesn't look like Christ. And if you're going to continue to go with Me in this direction, you're going to have to do it like I say do it. And that image is Christ-likeness. That's when you read. That's what that means. When you pray, that's what that means. Where's the other place we're heading? There's a physical place. Heaven. When I say I'm walking with God, do you know what I'm doing, brothers and sisters? Honey, I've got my map. I've got my lane. I've got my sights set on a city whose builder and maker is God, whose foundations are not of this world. I don't hear preaching on heaven like I used to hear preaching on heaven. I hear preaching on checkbooks, and I hear preaching on marriage, and those things are good, and they have their proper place. But how many of you can remember back in the old days when those preachers would get so full of God and so full of glory, they'd lock eyes, a fog would come over their eyeballs and they'd lock eyes with another world, and I can't prove what they saw, but they weren't seeing eyeballs down here. They'd looked up and seen that great host of witnesses that had surrounded them, and they'd locked horns with the people in heaven, and they were talking about that city as if they were standing inside the gates. And I pray to God, some of you that had never experienced that, I pray God will lay it on you one day through myself or another preacher, where they get so caught up in the fog, where the glory settles over their eyeballs and a cloud settles over their pupils, and all they see are golden streets and ivory walls and jasper walls and emerald coasts and seas and crystal rivers. I'm telling you, honey, as I walk with God, here's what I'm doing. I'm leaving this world and I'm headed to the one to come. Can I tell you why most Christians don't walk with God? They enjoy the world way too much. Baby, who were we talking to yesterday? And I said, I'll tell you what God does. No, I was telling Sunday school this morning. So I said, every funeral you go to, think about this, every funeral you go to makes you long to go to heaven more than the last one. You know what God's doing? He is disconnecting you from this world and locking you into the world to come. And that's exactly what God does with us walking with Him. That's what God is doing. He's disconnecting you from this world, and He's connecting you to the world to come. So number three, here's the next thing that it teaches us. And remember, I'm walking with you tonight. I'm going somewhere, so don't check out. Number three, the very fact that you say you're walking with God, you are indicating that there will be a journey. There will be a journey. Brothers and sisters, how many of you have been on a journey where there were no problems? Okay, if you have ever been on a journey where there were no problems, it was because you were the child and you slept the whole time. Because from the very moment I got married, the journeys my wife and I, my family and I, my mother and I, wherever we go, there's always problems. There is going to be problems. Here, I've got five things I want you to write down about the journey walking with Christ. And then at the very end, I want to give you three practical tips about walking with God. Here's what, when I say that I'm walking with Christ and you're walking with Christ, you are indicating five things. Number one, you are indicating that you know there will be a progressive closeness. There will be a progressive closeness. Watch this. How many of you are today what you want to be next year? No. If you really walk with Christ, you're always wanting to get better, grow closer, pray more, know the Lord, and know the ways of God. But when you say, I'm walking with God, watch this. If that's my destination and this is my starting point, each step I take, I'm still not there. But what am I? Closer. And when I take another step, I'm still not there, but what am I? And if I take another step, I'm still not there, but what am I? Every day you walk with Christ, every day you pray, every day you trust in Him, every day you listen to His voice, you may not be where you desire to be, and you cannot let that discourage you, but you do realize I'm closer today than I was yesterday. Because what the devil will do in your life, in your prayer life, in your Bible reading, in your faith in Christ, in your trust in the Holy Spirit, in your listening to the voice of God, what he'll do is you'll get a word from God here, and when you start taking the step, the first thing the devil says is, you know you're not there yet. You know you're not there. You know you haven't arrived. I was talking about those fellas I took down with me to Myrtle. On the way back, I talked to them. I said, fellas, what God did, He did not take you somewhere. He did not place you where He wanted you to be. He simply gave you a glimpse of where He wants you to go. And that's the way it is walking with God. You've got to understand, I will be closer to God today than I was. Although I am not there, I realize I am getting there. Number two, the second thing that I have learned in this walking with God is that number two, there will be a progressive unveiling. This is the one thing that bothers me the most about God, is I want God, when He gives me a promise, a direction, or a word, I want Him right now to unfold the entire plan. How many people that have OCD would enjoy it if God would do that to you? Okay, one, two, honest, rest of you liars. How many of you are going to ask this question again? How many of you, when God gives you a direction or a plan, you would love, absolutely love, if He'd lay the whole thing out in front of you right there? That's exactly right. I would absolutely love that. It would take all the worry, doubt, and confusion out of my life. But that's not the way that God does it. My pastor, I call him my preacher, Preacher Lemons. Maybe when I start working for him, before I met you, that was in 2006 probably. We're in 2009, 13 years ago. 13 years ago, this invention came out. How many of you can remember TomTom? Remember the TomTom GPSs? Yeah. Well, my pastor was so old school. We stopped at gas stations, and he would not buy the maps. He said, that's a ripoff. But he'd go in, we would read the maps, get the direction, and then figure out which way to go. So I finally talked him in to buying a TomTom. Right? Well, I said, man, this is going to be the greatest thing. Here's what he said about that TomTom. He said, that's the lionest woman I ever met in my life. But TomTom and even Google Maps and all the and Waze and all of them do it today. When you punch in a location, right? Have you ever noticed it'll say, make a left in half a mile. And then it goes silent. It doesn't talk again until you get a quarter mile and closer. How many of you, it would make my life easier with my wife and my marriage if that stupid GPS, it would make my life easier if she'd just drive. But it'd make my life so much easier if it would say, make a left here, then make a right there, then go straight there, then make another turn there, then you'll arrive at your destination. It doesn't do that, does it? How many directions does it give you? One at a time. You'll find that's the way God does as you walk with Him. That's exactly the way the Lord will do. As you begin trusting in the Lord, you want God to see how it's going to work out. You want God to see how it's going to show. But He doesn't do that. He reveals it one turn at a time. You say, I hadn't heard God speak in a while. It's not time to turn. I hadn't heard God tell me which direction to go in. That's because He doesn't want you to change directions. People, we make it far too difficult. I know I do. We make it far too difficult to follow the Master. Where do I turn? Don't worry, He'll tell you. Where do I go? Don't worry about it. You have an open ear. He'll show you what to do. All right, number three, there will be turmoil. You have never made a journey where there was not a pothole in the road. If you've driven in North Carolina, you haven't. You boys that are truckers, you know. The only two places that have worse roads than North Carolina are Arkansas and Mississippi. They're awful. Potholes everywhere. You can't find a road with no pothole on it. And you'll never find a journey that does not have stumbling places and places that will get you off kilter. You will never find in your walk with Christ that things aren't difficult. College kids, you'll never find that it's hard, that it's easy to trust Christ in college. High schoolers, you'll never find it's easy to trust Christ and walk with Christ. I'm telling you, moms and dads, you're never going to find a place that makes it easier. I was talking to Chris Service. We were talking before church, and he was telling me a lot about his, we were talking about Stephen. We were talking about all the different things, and I was asking about Sunday school, and he said something that I've heard my pastor say I don't know how many times. This is what he said. He said, you know, the older I get, the harder life gets. How many of you people would say that? I'm not as aged as some of you. I'm 34, but it's as old as I've ever been. And I'm finding it's harder now than it was when I was 24. And 24 was harder than when I was 14. And 14 was harder than when I was 4. I imagine 44 will be harder than 34. And 54 will be harder than 44. And 64 will be harder than 54. Do you know why? Because we on this walk with Christ will always have turmoil. But hear me and hear me well. The joy of the journey is not in the ease of the path. It's in the company on the way. I want to tell you something. I don't care where I go in a car as long as my wife's with me. I joke a lot about my wife. We ha-ha, we laugh. I don't care where we go. We can drive to Disney World. We can go to the mountains. We can go to Kroger. I don't care. Because it's not about the journey, it's about the company you keep. The walk with God is not about the path. Paths will never turn out like you thought they would. It's about who is with you on the journey, and the one that is with you is the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the fourth thing. Number four, there will be swift correction. The closer you get to God, the harder it's going to be to make the smallest mistake. How many of you know, back when you were living for the devil, it was easy to live. You could do what you want, go where you want, and act like you want, and nobody got mad. You start getting close to God, you throw trash out the window, the Holy Ghost convicts you. God, I just saw 14 banana peels, 3 cups of Budweiser, and 5 packs of Marlboros on the side of the road, and you're mad at me because I threw out a biodegradable toothpick? You know why? The closer you get to God, the less sin can be between you. You can't get close to a holy God and sin get in there. You need to understand that the conviction that comes over your soul is not there because God is mad. It's come because you are close. Number five, you need to understand there will be normality. Another word you could put here is monotony. Monotony. Fellas, I need some honest men right now. Jason, you're close in the spit zone. I'm going to need some honesty, my brother. How many of you fellas just, oh God. Lord Jesus, please help me not to grieve your spirit. When you walk into your house, after a long, hard day of doing whatever you do, you would love nothing more than for her to drop everything she's doing. Throw the dishes aside, the knives aside, the bags aside, the kids aside, and for her to say, oh, baby, oh, I'm glad you're home. Yeah, boys. Ladies, how many of you would love, after he got done cooking your dinner, or you cooking his dinner, rather, I misspoke, low life, just give me a second. after you got done slaving over his stuff, washing his stuff, cleaning his stuff, cooking for his kids, you'd die if he just came up around you, hugged you, and said, I'm going to tell you something. I appreciate you more than you'll ever know. You'd die, wouldn't you? Because that would be abnormal. You know, if you had that every day, you wouldn't appreciate that when it came. Most of the time, fellas, when we come in, if we get a glance and look over the right shoulder, Pentecost has happened. Are you with me? Ladies, if you get a grunt after he puts down 18 plates of food, Holy Ghost has done brought revival to your house. You know why? Because there's always monotony. But watch this. Do not seek excitement, it will come. Rejoice in monotony, because in monotony there is safety. That's the way it is walking with Christ. There are some days I walk and I don't hear his voice. Some days he doesn't speak. Some days I just keep in the direction I'm going, and I beg, I long, I desire. I get so discouraged at times when he doesn't speak that day from the thundering, booming voice of eternity, but he just doesn't. But the very fact that I have not heard the voice of God brings safety to my life. Because when I cannot place a finger on any sin in my heart, I know I'm closer than his voice, because I've been held at his heart. There's safety in monotony. I want to ask you a question. In the normality of your life, do you walk with God? I'm not talking about the big decisions. You ought to pray over where you go to college. You ought to pray over whether or not you ought to take a job. You ought to pray over who you ought to marry. You ought to pray over where to send your kids to school or not to send, or homeschool or private school or public school. You ought to pray over every decision, whether to buy a house, whether to buy a car. But I want to ask you, do you speak and talk and walk with God in the normality of life, in the monotony of your day? Fellas, if you look for excitement in your home to be the only time you talk to your wife, you're not going to have much of a marriage. I don't need my wife every single day to make a big deal over me in order for me to say, hey, hon, let me ask you, what do you think about? Or for her to say, hey, do you mind if? Because there's safety in normality. I have three questions I want to ask you about how to walk with Christ in the normality of your life, in the everyday. Listen, God doesn't want you to just bring the large things to Him. He wants you to bring everything to Him. I'm talking about praying over houses. I'm talking about praying over cars. I could tell you a story right now about how that God has worked in my family in a decision that we were trying to make. And all I heard the Lord say was, trust me, trust me, just trust me, trust me. Don't do that, just trust me. And how finally it came to pass. Here are three things. Number one, do you speak to God about the small things as well as the large? Do you speak to God about the small things as well as the large things? Do you talk to God about where you eat lunch? Do you talk to God every day about, Lord, I only have 30 minutes today during this amount of time. What do you want me to do with my time? Do you talk to God about whether or not, ladies, do you talk to God about whether or not you ought to take certain clients or go to certain places? Fellas, do we talk to God and ask God about the decisions of our life? I'd be honest and be remiss if I didn't tell you that old Tyler Curtis has messed up far too many times on just making everyday decisions, not debating or talking to God about it. And how many times have the everyday decisions come back to bite me? Let me give you an illustration. Several months ago, I needed new tires on the Tahoe. It's been about a year and a half ago. I needed new tires on the Tahoe. Ain't nothing to pray about with that. You bald tires and the ice on the road, you know what that equals? Bad insurance premiums. What are you praying about? So you know what I did? Called a couple people, went with the cheapest price, went and got the tires put on. I knew what kind of tire I wanted. I know how I wanted it rotated. I knew blah, 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 blah. Well, ain't nothing to pray about. Something inside of me said, talk to me. Pray about that thing. But you know how we all do. Lord, what am I praying about that for? Okay, it's just tires. Lord, do you want me to get the tires? Thank you. Make the next phone call. So I went with the best price on the tire, and I did it. I did it. Put the tires on there. 4 months later, I noticed that that tire had the awfulest wobble in it. I'm not a car guy, but I know when something ain't right. And it started wobbling. Well, you know old Tyler Curtis. I paid for that. I don't care if I got that on sale. I paid for that. So I marched back over to the place because I'm not a phone call guy. I'm going to talk to you in person. I walked back over there, and you're never going to believe what he said. He said, these tires aren't covered under warranty, man. I said, this is a manufacturer defect. He said, prove it. Prove it. I said, I'm going to prove something when I take that wobbly tire and run you over. The Holy Spirit, I got in the car and I was so mad. I was so mad. God, why are you picking on me? Why are you doing this to me? Why? And the Holy Spirit said, did you pray about that? Did you ask me about that? So I called some of those other places. You ever done this, boys? You call the place and say, sir, I'm calling for my wife has got a question. I said, my wife's got the awfulest rattling. You know she went and bought these tires at this cheap place over there without consulting me. So, he said, man, I wish she'd have come here and bought them here. We cover them with a dealer warranty. And the Holy Spirit taught me a lesson right there. God desires me to pray over the small things and get His direction as well as the large things. What is the small direction you need from God this week? Pray about it. Number two, can I ask you a question? Do you listen for His voice to guide you? You do realize God speaks to His people. John chapter 10, the Bible says, and my sheep hear my voice. My voice! God speaks to His people. The reason we don't hear His voice is because we don't listen. You pray. And don't make a decision till you hear His voice. Here's the third thing, and I'm done. I've held you far too long tonight, but I want to give you this third thing. The third question that I have is this. Do you notice that His presence is always with you? This is the way that you really walk with God. Every moment of every day, remind your mind that God is with you. When you go to work in the morning and you're in your car, you need to realize the passenger seat is not empty. When you sit down at your desk in that little cubby or cubicle, you need to remember you're not by yourself. Because sitting on the corner of the desk is the God of heaven. Tomorrow, ma'am, when you start schooling those kids again at home or you take them to school, whatever you do, you need to realize that the Lord is there with you. So I ask you the question that they asked Duncan Campbell getting off the ship as he disembarked. Beloved church, are you walking with God? Are you walking with God?